Hello, listeners. Are you ready to spring into making healthy choices? Like actually going to the gym, not just putting on the gym shoes? Well, I am. And I have also been making the healthy choice to cut back on alcoholic beverages during the week. Recess mocktails make it so easy to do. These zero-proof craft mocktails are the replacement that allows you to enjoy the ritual of pouring yourself a fabulous drink at only 25 calories or less. Have that friend that alcohol tends to make a little extra chatty? Offer them a recess mocktail at your next get-together. Be a crowd pleaser. Everyone enjoys a recess lime margarita. It's the perfect guilt-free drink in between drinks. Our listeners can enjoy 15% off at takearecess.com/clink. So you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. That's takearecess.com/clink.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice, and My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Hello and welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
What a do.
What a do, barbecue.
Yeah.
Did you have a barbecue this weekend?
No. No,
not that you
not.
Know of yet.
Oh, only my body from the sunburn. That's the only thing that got barbecued.
I went to the beach and did not get sunburned, Gretchen.
Oh, good. Good on you. You can show me how that works when you come down.
Oh, I will. I will. Oh, do you hear my cat? Guess
they miss me. They say, where's my Gretch? I want to sit on her lap when you're recording.
I don't know if you would let her sit on your lap right now.
Oh, because she's gross?
She has one eye.
Yeah.
So my poor cat that had like the COVID or something before, now she has one eye. Something happened to the other eye. It's totally glazed over in a white mishmash. So anyways, right after this, I'm going to the vet to take her to the emergency vet so we could figure out like what really is going on there.
Oh, that's an exciting day.
Not.
Well, we don't have any excitement around here, Tab. The most exciting thing that has happened is Wyatt has a loose tooth and Willow fancies herself a dentist and she has been trying to pull it out for him.
And he's letting her?
He kind of was at first, actually, until, and she was getting in there you know, and she was really, really, really wiggling it. And I mean, like, blood is coming out and everything. Like, my kids are savage. Okay. But then she did something so crazy. She punched him. And we were like, whoa, you know, we have a zero tolerance for punching. This is what I actually do, parent, you know, automatic timeout.
Yeah.
And she was like, come on, I was just trying to toughen him up. He was whining about it.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. No, go Willow.
Where does she get that though? That's crazy.
Well, you know, sometimes girls are more aggressive than boys, like Kyla.
She's aggressive.
Yeah, my girl's aggressive too. I'm like Willow, though. I try to get in my kid's mouth and pull that shit out as fast as possible. And one of my kids does not let me. The other one, it's like, Mom, yeah, tie it to a door, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Which I think is real fun. I slow-mo it. It's like fascinating to me. Kind of feel bad I don't have teeth to pull out myself anymore.
It's pretty satisfying.
It really is. It's like very strange.
we're so weird.
You know, I kind of like tooth pain also.
Ew!
Not deep tooth pain where it like hurts your entire face.
Yeah.
But like a canker sore.
Oh, yeah. When you like just kind of like tongue it.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah. It's weird.
It's gotta mean something or something. I don't know. I don't like any other kind of pain. So don't get twisted.
No BDSM for Tab.
No. Okay. Nothing like that. I like everything very nice. Like a good foot massage at the pedicure place, which I'm missing so much. Oh my God. Can those please open like tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. I got a massage, you know.
I know. Gretchen stepped
You know, I got a massage at the chiropractor and I was really concerned about like all the, you know, spreading of the COVID. But it's really not bad, right? Because I only let her do my back. So it's like you're face down.
Yeah. And it's one person. It's not like you're in a crowded room.
Yeah.
What are you drinking this morning?
Coffee.
Any Baileys in it?
Oh, yeah. It totally fits into my keto. Like, you wouldn't kick my ass.
Oh, my gosh. Guess what, you guys? Okay. So there is a way to make keto Baileys, and I've done it. And it's so delicious.
It is?
Yeah. You make it with cream and whiskey and stevia. That swerve.
Swerve.
I use the swerve. Or you can use the monk fruit. Tastes even better. And it's really good. So if you guys love Baileys and coffee like I do, something to think about. If you want to, it's not like an easy feat, right? You got to mix a bunch of ingredients, but it's pretty good.
What else you got to do?
I took my kiddos to the donut shop for the first time since COVID.
Oh, like they all got out of the car and went inside?
No.
No.
I locked them in the car, but it's right there, you know. Like I can see them. No, I don't let them go out of the car yet.
Yeah, I was shocked that you said that. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So I went in and.
So you left them in the car. So you're like, you're a bad parent. Hot car mom.
I leave it on. And when I leave the car on, I could take the key and I could lock it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's illegal, but if it is. Don't arrest
it
me.
Wasn't us. We're talking about somebody else, a friend.
Yeah,
of ours.
It was a friend. Okay. So my boys always love the sprinkled donuts, but I'm always like, oh, which ones to get? So I got like every color of sprinkled donuts there is. And two of them, so they don't fight over it, right? And then I love maple bars, and I knew I wasn't going to eat it, but I'm like, well, maybe one of my kids will actually try it. And then I got, you know, another grown-up donut, couple donuts just to throw in, see if they'll venture out of their sprinkle kitty fix.
Yeah.
Guess what?
What?
They didn't eat any of the sprinkled donuts. So I got two of each sprinkled donuts and they were like, oh no, Mom, we'll just take those two that you bought. Those like grown up donuts.
Oh.
They're like not babies anymore.
They're growing up.
That's so sad.
I can't wait till my kids are out of the like macaroni and cheese, sprinkled donuts, chicken nuggets. Like, can I cook for you? Like, can I really cook? I'm pretty good at it.
I know. My daughter, Kyla, she loves all that. Like, you could cook for her all day, which is so amazing. And the boys are still like pizza, chicken nuggets, And it's real annoying.
Monotonous. Yeah.
It is. I hate it. I hate it because then I'm always making like two different things for dinner. Who's calling you at this hour?
The husband. Early. The husband.
Oh. Checking up on you, making sure he got
COVID. He had to leave this morning and go to work and get COVID tested.
Oh.
And he's coming home. He's probably on his way home. Mm-hmm. So that I can go to the dermatologist because the mole saga continues, you guys. Oh, God. And I'm not going to bore you with it.
But she also gets to get her hair done.
Uh-huh, same place. Time.
Yeah. Little Botox.
I already did that last time.
I know. You can
see, I can't move my face.
You still can move a little bit.
My eyebrows a little bit.
So today we're talking about a case that lots of people know about, Gretchy. And we're doing it together, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is going to be different. This should be fun.
It'll be a little different.
It's so funny. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to it.
You want to?
I was just going to say, you're so funny because I think Tab is like, like it's a competition. Who's going to win? And I'm whatever. No, I just want to, you know, because everybody already knows about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
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 So it's finally here. We are finally doing the Scott Peterson case.
That is correct, Amundo.
We have resisted it because, you know, millions of people already know about it, written books about it, run it around and around. You know what? It is a real fascinating case. And even I did not get bored researching it after like all this time.
Oh, yeah, because you forget, because we forget. Yeah.
I do forget like everything. So maybe that's why. I feel like I knew this one pretty well. Nothing came that I was like, oh, I didn't know that, you know?
Yeah.
This case also has a lot of controversy and people seem now more than ever to be divided. Some people believe he is innocent, maybe Gretchen. And some people think he is a douchebag murderer that can rot in hell.
Okay, well, this is what I want to say. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if he is innocent or guilty. Okay? But what we're going to do is decide for you today. Today, there's a lot of controversy, and today's the day we're going to figure out.
Right.
We're going to give each other points. Like, if I'm going to argue that he's innocent, then I get a point. If Tabitha concedes, like, that's a good point.
Yes.
And whoever gets the most points is
wins.
Then we all know. Then you guys don't have to worry about it anymore in your brain. Is Scott Peterson guilty? I don't know. Nope. Housewife says he is. Boom. Don't
Boom.
Think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell the story, the facts, and the timeline as the prosecution did. And Gretchen's going to play more of defense.
Yeah, I'm going to interject. And by the way, I watched one documentary about this 3 times. So you're not getting like a Johnny Cochran, you know, up in here. You're getting like a public defender.
Okay. Well, okay. I kind of think actually that Mark Garagos was like a public defender.
Yeah, he didn't do a good job. Sorry, Mark.
We do think that Mark is a great attorney.
Yeah.
But this one, he just
blew it. Yeah.
There must have been something going on in his life that he just didn't take the time to really get the facts straight and be able to combat the prosecution. But, you know, we'll do that for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry. We're on your team now.
So
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. In training. Yeah.
So let me start for the few people that may have lived under a rock for nearly 20 years from the beginning. Well, before the world knew who Lacey and Scott Peterson were, they were just what seemed to be from the outside a happy little couple living a middle-class life in Modesto, California. Modesto is not glamorous. It is Central California, major agricultural area, and I would say Most people living there are hardworking blue-collar people. It does have a population crunch of over 200,000, which I thought was
I didn't realize Modesto was that big.
Yeah. House prices today are going from the 300,000s to a real nice house for about 450,000. So for California, that's real reasonable.
Yeah, that is reasonable. Yeah.
The city of Modesto also sits just 90 miles east of San Francisco, and some people call it the armpit of California.
I thought that was more reserved for like Fresno or Bakersfield.
Well, it's not really far from there.
From there? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I drive through there many times. I didn't think of it as that bad, but just like nothing special.
Yeah, but that's the same.
You're not going to be like, hey, guys, let's pack up the kids and go to Modesto for the weekend. Nope.
No, but that's the same as Fresno. I have tons of family that live in Fresno, and the only reason you would go there is to visit family. You wouldn't go there to hang out.
My husband has this is funny if you're from California. I'm sure every state has a town that they kind of make fun of. We make fun of Fresno. And we do kind of make fun of Fresno around here. Like, oh, yeah, where is that Fresno? You know,
I thought it's like Bakersfield.
Anyways. Well, yeah, same thing, though. I think they're both in the same category. Anyways, he has a shirt because we spent a lot of time in Morro Bay when we were on boats that says Morro Bay. And it's like a beautiful, you know, sunset. Mm-hmm. And then on the bottom, it says it's better than Fresno. Because Morro Bay is not that great either.
That's where Scott Peterson worked, by the way.
But that's where everyone goes from Fresno is like they drive out to the beach.
You know,
that's the closest place, Morro Bay.
You know what people call Ventura?
Bakersfield by the Sea.
Yes.
That's where we're from. That's why we can diss because we're from one of those places.
They also call it Ventucky.
Yeah. Yeah, we get that too.
Yeah. Okay. So you have this beautiful couple, back to Lacey and Scott, living in Modesto, which they moved to after college. Lacey actually was from Modesto, so it made sense to her to be close to her family. Scott, on the other hand, was from the San Diego area, which is about 9 hours south of Modesto.
Yeah, close
southwest,
to me.
Yes. Lacey and Scott met while they were attending Cal Poly State University in San Luis Obispo. You OGs know from our very first episode of Rex Krebs that is also where I attended college. Lacey and Scott would actually meet in 1994, 4 years before I got there. Scott worked as a waiter at a nearby restaurant in the Morro Bay. And Lacey saw this looker and was struck. She immediately knew that she wanted to date him and gave him her phone number. From there, they dated for 2 years before marrying. Now, Scott was still in college when they were married, and his douchery would be revealed very early on in their relationship. Two tips actually came in about women that had relations with Scott when he was still at Cal Poly and married to Lacey. One woman said she walked in on Lacey and Scott in bed together when she came over to Scott's house, had no idea that he was married. And the other one said that he claimed he was getting divorced. And she knew that wasn't true when she saw Lacey giving Scott a big kiss at graduation. So.
Oh, I had never heard any of that.
No? Yeah.
No. Should I give you a point? Mm-hmm. Okay. History of douchery.
One. Okay. Yeah. So, one. I mean, he was a sleaze from the beginning.
Okay.
I see him as arrogant and maybe that is because Scott grew up in, and I'm not saying that you're arrogant if you grew up in this area, okay? I'm just saying, like, he grew up in Rancho Santa Fe, attended private school, grew up in country clubs, and the Central Coast living is more like country living, not country club living.
Yeah, it's a pretty affluent area, Rancho Santa Fe, and he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah. So people in the Central Coast grow up in 4-H clubs, while Scott Peterson was at prestigious golf clubs swinging $1,000 clubs. You get it?
Yeah. So he thought he was, he thought he was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lacey and Scott's upbringing were just real different from each other. And I can see how like a 20-year-old male could be like that higher than thou mentality, right?
Yeah.
So it seems like Lacey at least knew in the beginning of the marriage that maybe Scott had a bit of a wandering eye, or maybe she was just gullible, or maybe she just found him so handsome that she overlooked his flaws. Whatever it was, they began their life together. And after graduation in 1998, they opened a restaurant in San Luis Obispo called The Shack.
The Shack?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
My friend actually frequented the restaurant often. And I, when I looked it up, I was like, I know that restaurant. I ate there. And I ate there, Gretchen, when they owned it. Can you believe that?
Da, da. You were probably in the same room with them.
I know. I thought that too. Crazy. So my friend, who actually had lots of conversations with Scott and Lacey, said it was no secret that he was a total scumbag and did not respect women the way that he should have, right? I mean, it seemed like he did, you know, that smooth talking kind of thing that everybody likes, but it was really just to kind of get in your pants.
Yeah.
The first time that he met Lacey's mom, he brought Lacey's mom a dozen roses and Lacey a dozen roses, the real win them over type that lacks the ethics. Like he lacks the ethics behind it, you know?
Yeah.
So Scott and Lacey sold the shack in 2000 and moved to Modesto, where Lacey's family was from, and bought a 3-bedroom modest house in a nicer neighborhood. Like I said, Lacey's family was pretty opposite of Scott's. They were of Portuguese descent and farmers. They were hardworking, loving people that lived a more simple life. I think the life also in Modesto was not the life that Scott had always dreamed of. Maybe it's hard to understand, but coming from the crisp beach air, beautiful schools, country clubs, and great restaurants to living in a modest community in the Valley of Central California, where dairy farming is the norm and smelling manure, which is actually what Scott sold, was the everyday occurrence.
Yeah.
Maybe just maybe Scott thought, that's not really what I signed up for.
Okay. Now, I know this goes against like my whole, I mean, it really doesn't matter, but in watching all the news conferences and stuff, I really like Lacey's parents. Like I gravitate towards them.
Oh, me too.
Like a lot. And I think this is maybe something that kind of worked against Scott, was that his family came off as really cold, you know?
So
his mom has since died, but, you know, they were just, they didn't come off as this warm, loving family that was so obvious with Lacey's parents.
And I agree with that. I think that is 100% true. One thing I didn't know how to bring this up, but I think it's a good time. Scott's mom actually had 2 children prior to Scott that she gave up for adoption in a previous relationship. So, and it is said that Scott never really had that feeling of like love and nurture. And so I think if you're not given that as a child, it's really hard as an adult to portray that or give that, because that's something that you just kind of have to grow up with. And I do see Lacey's parents, even her stepdad, treated her just like a daughter. And so I do think she had that more loving.
Yeah. Upbringing. And I think if you grow up with that like fun family that, you know, doesn't fight, that gets together all, you know, that gets together all the time, of course, you can see why Lacey would want to like live back close to her family, even if it was, you know,
of course, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, she would miss that. Yeah. And maybe that was even something Scott was attracted to, because maybe he didn't ever really have that.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
I mean, I stayed with a guy for his family for a long time. He had a real good one.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. So we've been there, done that.
Yeah, we get that. Yeah.
So by 2002, Scott was full-on fertilizer salesman and Lacey, a homemaker beauty, pregnant and sometimes substitute teacher. For Lacey, life seemed to be going as desired. She was where she grew up, like we said, around people she grew up with. Her best friends were there, also her family. And she was about to have a baby with her hunky husband. However, on that fateful Christmas Eve, 2002, life would forever change when Lacey Peterson, who was nearly 8 months pregnant with baby Connor, was reported missing by her stepfather. So, according to Scott, because that's all we have from Christmas Eve, is his accounts. They woke up in the morning. Lacey was watching a Martha Stewart cooking show on Meringues, which maybe here is a point you wanted to point out. I guess the prosecution said there was no Martha Stewart cooking show that day.
Okay, but there was a Martha Stewart cooking show that day, and it was about...
That's right, because it was a segment on a show.
Yeah, it was a segment. So do I get a point for that?
Yes.
Yes. Because the prosecution originally said that Lacey was dead the night before.
That's right.
They had to change their story. Okay, so...
They did have to change their story, but it doesn't mean that Lacey was watching that show. Scott could have turned on the TV and saw that.
I don't think that if Lacey was dead the night before and you're like dismembering the body of your wife, that you're paying attention to Martha Stewart making meringues on the TV and that you can recall that.
Maybe not. Okay.
Okay.
So he left to go golfing, which would change to fishing due to weather, and Lacey was going to walk the dog, make gingerbread cookies, and get ready for dinner later that night at her mom's house. Scott then decides to drive 90 miles away to the Berkeley Marina where he would fish, call Lacey on his way home, and leave a very sweet message for her. Return home to see Lacey's car in the driveway, the dog on its muddy leash in the backyard, and Lacey nowhere in sight. Quick note, they have been very, put off by this message that he leaves because he's like, hey, sweetie, I'm on my way home. I'm not going to have time to pick up this. So I was just wondering if you could pick it up.
Yeah.
And they were like, it sounds too sweet to, be true. But if, on the other hand, and now I'm playing kind of devil's advocate on your role. On the other hand, if they're saying that he's the smooth talker winning all the girls over, why wouldn't he also do that with his wife? Then she wouldn't expect any fare.
Yeah, she wouldn't suspect anything. They overcompensate. When your husband starts bringing you flowers and all that stuff, that's when you know they're up to no good.
Yeah, so I'm not so sure that call, I'm not sure.
Indicates anything. Yeah. Okay, so we're not going to give anybody a point for that call. Okay, so... That's what the prosecution says the timeline was.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think happened? How did it go down that he killed her?
Well, in that time frame.
Yeah.
So the prosecution says at this point, he heads to the Berkeley Marina. He has Lacey wrapped in a tarp. Maybe already in the boat, Gretchy. He's driving with the boat attached to the... He actually doesn't drive straight to the marina. He goes to his workshop warehouse storage unit place, picks up the boat.
Mm-hmm.
They think that he has Lacey, I guess, in his car. Then he has to transfer her to the boat.
I guess, but they never found any evidence of... There's no physical evidence in the car or the boat.
No, but there is this tarp that was doused with bleach and manure.
I never heard anything about this tarp.
This is the tarp that was actually on his boat that people say they saw. And when they found it in the storage unit, it had bleach and manure on it. And they said those are two things that could cover up the scent of a body.
Oh, we need to verify this because you know what? I heard that they released reports that there were things that cover what they said in this documentary, at least, was they released reports that they found stuff that had been cleaned up with bleach and stuff. but that was completely not true, that there was no.
Yeah, and that could be true because I'm just saying what the prosecution had said. So
yeah,
it's possible that that's not true. I do think that they had their sights set on Scott. So, you know, and this is a small town that doesn't deal with a lot of these murders. I mean, this is not a normal occurrence. So I think when you have investigators that are not used to, you know, really investigating homicides and a missing person case that is so under so much scrutiny from the media, like I think it gets a little twisted sometimes.
Yeah.
So they say that she was in the boat. He tied these anchors to her, which I'm going to get to in a second, and then pushed her overboard. And let me just get back to he comes home, because this is just what he's telling the police at this point, right? He's just saying, I got home. The dog was in the backyard with its buddy leash on. And a neighbor actually found the dog kind of running through the street, grabbed the dog, put the dog in their backyard. Lacey's nowhere in sight. He takes a shower, throws his clothes in the laundry. My husband would never do in a million years. And I know your husband wouldn't either, Gretchen.
Never in a million
but
years.
But yeah. Scott was very particular and always kept everything super neat and tidy. So maybe he would do that. Okay. He ate pizza, waiting for Lacey to come home. Then he calls her parents when it starts getting like later and later and says, hey, have you seen Lacey? They say no. And he immediately says, she's missing. This struck up nerve because why would you say Lacey's missing? And at this point, Lacey's parents are like, wait, what? Like, did you call her friends? Did you call anybody else? Did you ask a neighbor? And he's like, no. So they were like, well, she's not just missing. Go like ask around where she's at. And when he does, nobody could find her. So he calls back. And that is when Ron, her stepdad, makes the infamous call that everybody probably has heard to the police to report Lacey missing. But there's nothing to this call. He just says, my daughter, we can't find my daughter. The last thing we know about her was she was walking her dog. So immediately, Lacey's parents are frantic. Sharon, her mom, heads straight to the park where Lacey was supposedly last going to walk the dog. And she's yelling and searching everywhere, everything to try to find her.
Okay.
You want to say anything yet?
No, I want you to get to the part where you say you're basically telling.
I'm just going over the story. Then I'm going to get to the.
Yeah, I want to hear when you start to. I'm going to jump in when you start saying how you think Scott actually killed her, what you think happened. Then I'll say, OK, well, this didn't. So go ahead. Keep telling the story. I'm currently trying to find this bleach tarp.
Before we continue, I wanted to tell you all about, so remember those supplements, they were called Care yes. Of, and Gretchen and I both really loved them. They were super easy to get. We took a convenient online quiz, asked us how much we sleep, what our diet's like, how much we work out. Which this week has been not good for me, by the way, on the workout department.
I know you slacker, but I've been taking the electrolytes before my morning run, and I'm on fire. Yeah, they're really great. They're really good, and they kind of taste yummy, too.
Yeah. So it's hassle-free. They mail them out to you in a week. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. We both love the electrolytes, and it's good for women and men. So even all those guys out there, it's awesome. And our listeners get 50% off, which is
that's good.
Pretty good yeah. for the first order. All you have to do is type in clink50 at checkout, which, you know, yes. clink, clink, but just one clink. And you get 50% off your first order of Care Of. And the website is takecareof.com, www.takecareof.com. Don't forget the take, care of. So friends and family set up a command station where they would make posters, bring photos, and have phones, etc. Lacey's best friends were there. Scott was there. But Scott made sure that everything was about Lacey and nothing was about him. He didn't want to talk to the reporters or the media. He did not want to show his face. He didn't want any photos with him and Lacey posted. And they had tons of pictures, right? And he would always grab what her best friends say is that he would like grab the photos of both of them and like look at it and be like, ooh, I want to keep this one. But it was everyone with him and her. So that only photos of her were there, but nothing with them together. And it looked weird to everybody. It looked weird to her friends. Like, why was he not more distraught over his wife and unborn son missing? The police bring Scott in for questioning, as they do all husbands, and he is calm and collected. He says that he went fishing, couldn't really say where, he spent about an hour and a half in the boat. He's fishing for sturgis in this small aluminum boat. The police find Scott's demeanor odd. And as we know, they already think the closest person to the victim is always a suspect. So they start searching the bay where Scott was, or where he said he was last. While keeping an eye on Scott, Scott knows they're searching the bay, but he doesn't know that they are watching him. And you know what Scott's doing? Scott's renting cars and traveling 90 miles to the bay, where he spends 5 or so minutes looking over a look point in the bay and driving back.
That is suspicious.
That's weird. Why would you do that?
I'm going to give you a point for that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he did that.
Yeah. That's real odd.
Okay.
So although the police were suspicious, they still say they looked for other leads. One lead was a couple people saw a pregnant lady with the dog, yellow dog, walking in the neighborhood. And the police actually found that lady and said, yep, she was like, yeah, I was walking my dog in the same area. And she had a dog that looked just like Lacey's. So they were like, well, there's the pregnant lady. You know, we got that. It wasn't her.
I'm going to really argue that point.
Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. There was another theory that there was a satanic cult abducting pregnant women in the area. Did you hear about that one, Gretch?
Yeah.
Okay. There was another woman who actually was pregnant that washed up in the Bay Area just 5 months prior. And I actually researched that one. And I think she too was killed by her boyfriend, who actually knocked her up but was married to somebody else.
Oh.
So like people do when we have a missing person, a candle vigil was held with hundreds of people from the community attending. On the stage was Lacey's parents, Scott's parents, and her friends pleading for the return of Lacey. But you know who was nowhere in sight? Scott.
Scott.
Supposedly he was there, but no one from Lacey's family or her best friends ever saw him. Can you imagine that?
No, but I mean, we know the reason why.
Yes. So, well, all of this camera shyness would be made clear very soon. Scott mostly was avoiding the camera to ensure his side chick, Amber Fry, would not see him on the national news. Because as the world was looking for Lacey and tuning into every news station from here to New York, Scott was still having an affair with a single mother from Fresno.
Right.
While Lacey's mother was opening trash cans looking for her daughter and police were searching under the water in the bay, Scott was having secret phone conversations with Amber.
Yeah.
Even on the night of the vigil held for Lacey, Scott calls Amber 10 minutes before, claiming he is in Paris near the Eiffel Tower. I'm going to insert a clip here for you to see how he's talking about his New Year's celebration.
Amber, hey, Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
I'm near the Eiffel Tower. New Year's celebration is unreal. The crowd is huge.
But you know what? Little did Scott know that Amber was no dummy. Well, maybe at first she was. But as soon as Amber learned of Lacey's disappearance and the fact that Scott was actually married, she called Modesto Police Department right away. This was on December 30th. The police immediately partners with Amber to tape all their conversations to see if Scott would reveal anything that would help their case to find Lacey. During these months, Amber would take Scott's calls, and finally, Scott would let her know that he was married to a missing woman. In this phone conversation, she questions him over and over about a conversation that they had on December 9th. So let me go back real quick to Amber and Scott's affair, because if you know anything about this case, you know that Amber is a huge part of it. Amber and Scott met November 20th, 2002, just about a month prior before Lacey's disappearance. She had no idea that he was married. And at the time, she was a single mother to a 23-month-old daughter. Scott immediately doted over Amber, and they became intimate immediately, like the same day they met.
Oh, I didn't know they were doing it already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
From this point, they would periodically see each other and talk on the phone all the time. They lived in different cities, so it wasn't hard for him to go days without seeing her. He also had these elaborate stories as to why he couldn't be with her on these certain holidays. Like, he was traveling on Thanksgiving, and he was going here and there for work, and he was visiting his family in Maine, which we all know his family doesn't live in Maine. So they have this quick affair that seemed to escalate pretty quickly. On December 9th, one of their mutual friends found out that Scott was married and told him, "Dude, you got to tell Amber or I'm going to tell her." So he tells Amber that he lost his wife and it would be his first holidays without her. He told her that he wanted to be with Amber and that her child was enough for him. He didn't want any more children but hers, and he was also contemplating having a vasectomy. Well, Amber was duped by this smooth talker, and over these short few weeks, he would tell Amber that he would take care of her. They would spend their life together, and he actually cried to Amber when he was telling her that he lost his wife. Amber believed him, and he said after New Year's, he would be able to speak better to it. She didn't really ask questions. He was just kind of like, you know, I'll tell you more after New Year's, after I get through these holidays without her. So she didn't question it. She was like, oh my God, she must have died of cancer or something, you know?
Yeah.
Scott then goes to the infamous Christmas party with Amber, while Lacey is at another Christmas party by herself the same night. There is a picture that I'm sure everyone has seen. If not, we will post it, of Scott and Amber looking happy as clams. Scott has like the Christmas hat on, you know?
Yeah.
So back to Amber working for the police, taping all these conversations. He's a lying asshole.
Yeah.
Whatever. She did a real good job, I think, of talking to him. So anyways, Scott calls Amber on one of these taped conversations, and it comes out like, hey, Amber, I'm the guy on the news. Probably all heard that. She is like questioning him. I'm going to put a little insert here so you guys can hear just how he's talking.
The girl I'm married to, her name is Lacey. Mm-hmm. She disappeared just before Christmas.
I deserve an explanation of why you told me you had lost your wife and this was the first holidays you'd spend without her.
This has to be the biggest coincidence I have ever heard of. I mean, are you psychic? You predicted your wife would be missing?
How did you lose her then, before she was lost?
There are different kinds of loss, Amber.
Then explain your loss.
I can't see you now.
But nothing comes out of that, right? He doesn't give himself up. He's just like, I can't explain it right now. At this point, obviously the police know, but Lacey's parents have no idea that Scott's like having an affair until the Inquirer, do you know this, gets that picture, the infamous picture.
Well, that's not really true. Actually, the police went to her, the parents, before the story was leaked so that they would be prepared for when it came out.
And Choir called the police and said, hey, we're going to release this, but maybe you want to tell the parents first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how that happened. And from that point on, I mean, I think that anybody that thought Scott was innocent changed their tune.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think happened?
The prosecution thinks that Scott took the boat out. They say that he had tackle in his boat that he never even like opened. So they're like, he didn't even fish. Plus he was fishing for sturgis, right? Which he can't even fish for in that boat. It's so tiny. Which then you can also say, then how can you put a body in that boat? Right?
Right. If you're arguing for the prosecution, how do you think the timeline was that he killed her, put her body in the boat, and took her out to the bay?
Okay. So I think on, you know, the 24th, she's watching Martha Stewart, I guess, and... Actually, I don't think so. I think he killed her the night before. I think they got in an argument. I think that he's like, dude, like, I'm so fucking over your pregnant ass. You're done. And I just want to be with this Amber chick or just be like free and clear of anything because he's so like, he doesn't want a kid. He likes Amber, but he's not in love with her, right? So he kills Lacey. He's like, shit. What the fuck am I going to do? I have this Christmas Eve dinner. He's like, I got to figure something out. And he is methodical. So I do think he turned on the TV and he has some points. Like if I was going to make cookies, my husband would never know they were going to be gingerbread or fucking chocolate chips for all he cares. Like he wouldn't know that stuff. Those are things I think he planted in his mind for his alibi. Then he's like, how do I get rid of her? So he wraps her in this tarp. Puts her in his car.
Okay, so I found the tarp.
Okay.
So this is the deal with the tarp. The tarp was collected as evidence during the search warrant executed on December 27th, 2002. It was in the pickup on the night of the 24th. On the 27th, the 68 by 91 blue tarp was found by Detective Ray Cole folded up in a large shed housing garden fertilizers. So it was in a shed with fertilizer. It wasn't doused with fertilizer or bleach. They collected it as evidence. They clearly didn't. There's no evidence that of Lacey's body or bodily fluids or anything on the tarp. I mean, how do you not have a single drop of Lacey's DNA? Like he didn't use the tarp to kill her.
Okay. So that's a point for you.
Okay.
Are you sad you're not having a lot of points yet? So maybe he washed the tarp.
No, because I know they're coming.
Okay. So he puts her, he goes to his shed. He makes these four anchors, supposedly for her limbs or her head. Mm-hmm. They're 10-pound anchors. They're not big, right? They're pretty small if they're a 10-pound anchor. And he puts those and Lacey's body into the boat, drives the boat to
that morning, you're saying,
to the Bay Area.
Uh-huh.
Backs his boat in. He doesn't need to be there for long. He says he was there for an hour and a half. I don't know if he needed that long. Plops her over, you know, ties the anchors to her limbs and...
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences. And then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
Throws her overboard. Then pulls out the boat and he's on his way home.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's easy peasy lemon squeezy. I think the way he killed her to not have any evidence is you strangle her. Plus, there's no head. So her body was found in such a – they only found the torso. So
– okay. And I will give you a point for the fact that her body was found in the place where he said he was that day.
Yes.
Okay. I already wrote it down because I gave you an extra on accident because I can't read innocent guilty because I'm
okay.
Not smart.
So and then the prosecution did find a pair of pliers in the shed that had a strand of Lacey's hair on them.
Pliers in a shed. Oh my God. I can't believe it.
I know you're going to say like we shed a lot of hair, right?
Yeah, we do.
So
I mean, I could think I could pull off 10 hairs off me right now.
Yeah. So I think that is a very weak evidence because the pliers.
I'll give you half a point.
I think you could have a point for it because it doesn't really mean that those pliers could have come from her house.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she could have used them before. So here's one, Crutchy. All of her jewelry that she doesn't leave the house without it on was all found left in a room.
Okay, listen, she was pregnant. She was swollen. Big deal. You have to take off your jewelry when you're pregnant.
But not a necklace. Not earrings. Okay?
Okay. Okay, I'll give you a point for that.
You could just give me 1 point for both of these things. Her purse and phone were found in a closet. Who puts their purse in a closet? Do you?
Well, if you didn't want your dog to like chew it up or something... I'll give you that can be part of your
okay.
Point. I don't know. I don't put my purse in the closet. I mean,
the prosecution also found a wedding album of Scott and Lacey in the garbage can at that warehouse storage unit.
Oh, I had never heard that either. That's a point. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Are you done
with all my points?
You got more points? Yeah.
I think I'm done with my points.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you what happened. Okay. That was fun. Okay. He did not kill her the night before because at 8:40 in the morning, Lacey was on the computer looking for sunflower umbrellas and women's clothing.
That's because Scott is just so meticulous. He knows that.
Scott didn't know that. He didn't tell the police, like, hey, check my browser history or anything. The computer analytics guy that took the computer into custody discovered that, and he didn't even know about that till trial.
Okay. Point.
Okay. Point. 9 to 10, Martha Stewart, we've already talked about that. 9:20 to 9:40 a.m., a neighbor sees Scott loading his car before he went to his warehouse 3 miles away.
Okay.
That's what he did. Nobody gets a point for that. That's just neighbor Back. Says this. Okay. 10:08, Scott makes a phone call to his voicemail while he's on the road from the warehouse, which is triangulated by police. So we know that he was on the road by 10:08.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Between 10 and 10:45, witnesses see her walking her dog, and it's plotted out in a circle. Tab, there's like a dozen fucking people that saw her walking the dog.
Why didn't they?
Because Mark Garrigou sucks dick. He did not follow up with these people. There were so many. This was such a huge case. There were so many tips coming in. And everybody assumed that they were following up with all these people that had seen her. And even the people were like, well, maybe they must have a ton of accounts because so many people saw her.
Yeah. So I watched a documentary where the police department said they did follow up with all their tips. And the police detective was like, yeah, I found that pregnant lady that everybody was talking about. And she said she was walking the dog.
Well, that's just not true. I mean, I believe these dozen people that have come forward since that say they were familiar with her. They were familiar with the dog. They 100% saw her. One of the people even is like, I know I saw her between, you know, 10:40 and 10:42 because I was on a smoke break and I had my time card.
Oh, okay. That's a point.
Okay. So between, I mean, already, here's the thing. Already, if you take those two pieces of evidence, Scott is on the road at 10:08, and between 10 and 10:45, witnesses see Lacey walking her dog. He's innocent. If one of those dozen people is right about what they saw, Scott's innocent.
Then why didn't they bring one of them onto the stand?
Okay. So because they thought, because there was so no physical evidence that was the deal.
I know. And I agree. Like, you have to prove guilt. And you shouldn't have to prove innocence. But you've got to prove innocence. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, you do. Okay. So then it goes on to between 10:30 and 10:56. Scott was on his computer at the warehouse and hooking his boat up. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they looked up. What was he looking up? He was sending an email to his boss, you know, Merry Christmas, and looking up how to use tools, like a new tool that he had just bought.
Yeah, I did see that. And that tool was actually put together in the 20 minutes because he only had 20 minutes there, I think. So I think that is a point.
Yeah. So he was clearly there. Okay. Now rewind a little bit. At 10:18, a neighbor sees the family dog with the collar and the leash on, and she put it back in the yard.
Okay, back up. Okay. What time was the guy on the smoke break?
I don't know exactly what time the smoke break was, but it is between 10 and 10:45, people. This is where it's a little fuzzy. People see her walking the dog plotted around in the circle. At 10:18, a neighbor sees the dog and puts her back in the yard.
So it's like the smoke break, we would need to know the time card of the smoke break to make sure that it's not after the dog being
put in. All of these could have been after 10:18. Like, the dog could have just gotten away from her and then she grabbed the dog after that.
But the guy with the smoke break had to have seen her before 10:18.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
there is something to these witnesses. Okay, at 12:54, that is when there is a receipt. Scott produces a receipt from where he parked his truck in the marina, and he was fishing from 1 to 2. Okay. Regarding this, everybody says, why would he go fishing on Christmas Eve? My husband 100% would go fishing on Christmas Eve.
I don't think that that is like a big deal either. He's not going until 5 o'clock to Christmas dinner. I don't think that's like, why isn't he helping his wife get ready for Christmas Eve? That's just, some husbands just aren't doing that.
Yeah. Okay. And this is what I think too. If he killed her the night before, he would have gone to the marina the night before, because there is no way you are taking a body in a boat going past all these live aboard boats. You know, it's a crowded marina with people walking around all the time in this little tiny boat in the middle of the day. If you're going to get rid of a body, you're going to do it at night.
Okay, let me ask you something. So why would he say he bought that boat for his father-in-law and take it out? Like, if it's a gift, then why would you use it?
This guy's like, yeah, just to check it out, see how it runs.
Maybe. And then let me tell you something else. Prosecution was like, or maybe the defense said that Scott registered the boat, and how would he do that if Lacey, and like try to hide that from Lacey? I think that my husband registers our boat, and I have no fucking clue when or where or how he does it. So, I mean, I am for the defense on that. Like, I think that that's not, I mean, do you know when your husband registers your boat or your trailer? Or
my husband doesn't. No, I register all that stuff myself because my husband has a very good wife.
So that's not my department in our marriage.
But he, but if it, the tables were turned, he wouldn't know when that was. You know, he'd be like, whatever. I like, he has no
idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I don't believe that he would have. There is any way that he would have done any of this in broad daylight, and it doesn't add up that he's looking for sunflower umbrellas and how tools work. Like, I mean, this all seems like, that all seems normal to me, not the behavior of a murderer. Okay. At 2:15, so he's fishing from 1 to 2. By the way, people in the marina saw him, looked into the boat, did not see anything. Okay. Mark Garagos and his team, they tried to replicate a 100-pound, you know, what it would be like to have a 100-pound body, dumping it over with the anchors, whatever. And it was, they couldn't do it without capsizing the boat. They did it, you know, they got the same everything, same conditions, all of that, but it wasn't admissible in court. The judge decided.
And why did they decide that? Do you know? Because I did read that.
No, I don't know why.
And then they let the jury go in the boat off of the water, which I can't, like, what's the point
of
that?
You can't capsize the boat when it's stable on land. That's stupid.
Yeah, I think that's so stupid too. The boat is tiny, you guys. It is like real small.
Yeah, it's real small. Okay. So then he calls Lacey at 2:15 as he's leaving the marina. Leaves that sweet message. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
4:30, he drops off the boat at the warehouse, and then he went straight home. He thought it was unusual. The door was unlocked. And the leash was still attached to the dog, but he assumed that her mom had picked her up to help prepare Christmas Eve.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
That does.
But her car is still in the driveway.
Yeah, that's why he thought her mom must have picked her up.
Okay.
So he took a shower and then called Lacey's mom at 5:17 to inform her that, you know, he said, hey, is Lacey there? And the car and the dog were still there. Everybody starts, you know, thinking, well, what the hell? He does say the thing like, she's missing. 5:47, Lacey's stepdad calls 911. That night, he voluntarily sat down with police. He does not acknowledge that they have any trouble in their marriage.
But they probably didn't have trouble in their marriage. He's just a sleazebag.
Okay, but here's the thing. When someone is missing, I think he is this is what I think. I think he's a sleazebag, and I think where Mark Garagos went wrong is that he should have called everybody from Scott's past that knows that Scott is a sleazebag, that he is a compulsive liar, that he could, you know, lie about anything on any given day, and he is so egotistical that he doesn't want to be found out. He needed to call those people. They needed to annihilate Scott's character.
He also needed to call that girl from the past that when he was married and going to college and he was already saying he was getting divorced.
Yeah, he was full of himself. They needed to show all these people that just because Scott is a douchebag, which everyone agrees he is, does not make him a murderer.
So, yes. So prosecution's evidence really was weak. The only thing that prosecution had that really damned him was the tapes from...
The tapes from Amber Fry, mm-hmm. and the fact that the bodies were found where he said he was fishing. That's all they had. But they released his alibi to the public. So if you were holding a pregnant lady hostage or had a body to get rid of, wouldn't you dump it in the spot where they're accusing the guy who did it?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So this does not look good for Scott. So Scott calls his parents the next day, tells them about Lacey, whatever, and tell them that police ask him to take a polygraph and his stepdad talks him out of it.
Or his dad. Is it stepdad? I think it's dad.
His dad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have stepdad in my notes. But so he said no to the polygraph. And so then that's when police really zeroed in on him was like the next day because they're like, oh, this guy has something to hide. But we all know what he was hiding was this affair with Amber Fry. When someone goes missing, all bets are off. You have to put it all out on the table. You have to say, dude, I was having an affair, but I don't know what the fuck happened to my wife. Like, I always think about that, the David Westgate case that happened in San Diego. And that might be the wrong name, but this little boy went missing. And the police questioned the parents, and the parents were like, yeah, we smoke pot, we're swingers, you know, whatever. And the media kind of attacked them, and then they found out it was the neighbor that had taken the little boy. Long story short.
Oh, I remember that.
But it was like, that is exactly what you have to do. You have to say, these are all our secrets. You can look wherever you want. Our kid, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't try to hide anything. Because nothing matters but finding this missing person. So I think that is where Scott went wrong. And he definitely lied when he said Lacey knew about his affair with Amber. He told that.
Yeah.
He said that at one point. I mean,
I think to Diane Sawyer.
Yeah. Okay. So the story is getting a lot of press. The police are zeroing in on him. They have an overwhelming response to the search. Tips start coming in about people who saw her walking the dog. It gets overwhelming for this little police department and they're not following up. Police execute search warrants on December 26th. They find nothing. He had voluntarily let the police in his house, by the way, on the 24th.
Yeah. Okay. He did.
They ask him to consent to a second search in writing. And again, his family told him to consult with an attorney before signing anything. Now, this looks really bad for Scott, but the truth is, I'm sorry, that is how rich people think. Rich people are like, you got to lawyer up. You got to, you know, that's their mentality. And it in public opinion, it didn't serve him.
It did not serve him well, but also it didn't serve him well because I think of the public that he got, like the jury he got didn't fancy rich people. They hated Mark Garagos. They thought he was coming in with his fancy clothes. I read the jury book. It was written by 7 of the jurors. And over they talk about Mark Garagos's designer clothes, his swagger.
Right. Yeah, he was playing to the wrong crowd.
That's right.
And you know who was playing to the right crowd? Nancy Grace. Our girl mm-hmm. Nancy, God love her, but she jumped in on this case and started appearing on Larry King every night. And if Nancy Grace wants you to be guilty,
you're guilty.
You're
Yeah.
I'm going to be guilty in public opinion. I mean, there is nobody who can talk their way. You know, I mean, we all saw her do Top Mom. Excuse me. You know, I mean, she is like, okay. So by December 30th, the people have already convicted Scott Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
December 30th, police release information about there was a burglary across the street. On Christmas Eve morning, a neighbor driving by told them they saw suspicious people out front at 11:40 a.m. and she saw the van. She didn't put it together that they were burglarized until like the people had like come back and said, "We were burglarized. We think it happened on the 24th. Okay, so 4 days later, the police announced the burglary happened on the 26th. So they're saying like the burglary had nothing to do with Lacey's disappearance because it happened on the 26th. The problem is that with that is that all the reporters were out there from 5 a.m. on.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they all say there's no way that house was burglarized. It just didn't happen. It happened on the 24th.
So, okay. So the house is burglarized on the 24th. What does that have to do with?
I get a point for that.
Yeah. But what does that have to do with Lacey?
Because somebody else saw her have a confrontation with these people.
With the burglars.
Yeah.
Somebody saw Lacey have a confrontation with the burglars.
Yeah.
And the burglars are coming there at like 9 in the morning?
In the middle of the day on Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Well, it had to have been before 10:18.
No. It was after she got back from her walk.
Well, the lady found the dog at 10:18 in the morning.
Yeah, but the dog got out all the time. She could have still grabbed that dog and put it back.
But there was no Lacey after 10:18 in the morning. That's what I'm saying.
She was the walk. She could have started the walk after 10:18. Like maybe she opened the gate and the dog got out and then the lady put it back. You know, maybe Lacey went back in the house to go to the bathroom or something. And then she grabbed the dog and started her walk.
I mean, that would be highly unlikely.
Why would it be unlikely?
Because like. And I don't know. I just don't see that. I see that the lady found the dog after Lacey was missing.
But then a dozen people saw her on her walk. Okay. And then she comes back from her walk. She has this confrontation with these burglars and they take her. Let me tell you, when they took these guys, when they found the burglars, the first thing they said was, "We don't have anything to do with that missing pregnant lady."
I know. That's so weird. That is a real weird statement.
That is a weird statement. Okay. And it gets worse. Okay.
Do we know who these guys are?
Yeah.
And have they ever had anything else in their criminal past, like lately? I mean, it's been 20 years. Are they all just
I don't know perfect if they're men? Exact, you know.
I'd love to look them up.
Their exact, you know, like deal or whatever. Mm-hmm. So here is the deal with that. The robbery thing was at the trial after the. Okay. This came out after the trial. So when they're like going through to write his appeal.
Yeah.
The lawyers came across a tip from Lieutenant that Lacey had the confrontation with the people that were robbing the house across the street. It came from the robber's brother on a recorded phone call because he was in prison, right? So like a lieutenant was listening while the robber is in prison for the robbery. The lieutenant is listening because they listen in on the phone calls.
Yeah, okay.
So he called in and said, but they didn't discover this until after the trial. Okay. He then gave the tape he stands by his story to this day. He says he gave the tape of this conversation to the police. The Modesto police say he never gave it to them. They deny it.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't that be evidence, newfound evidence for a new trial?
Yeah. Well, I mean, his appeal is coming up now. You have to put it in context of you have this, the Nancy Grace Army. You
yeah,
have these people really identified with Lacey. I mean, pregnant. Can we talk about how cute she is? Freaking adorable. Right?
Yeah.
And especially when your heart breaks for her because her douchebag husband is having an affair. When they announced that Scott was found guilty, people cheered in the streets. I mean, this was like a big win. And you've got to think that those police egos got involved. I mean, they wanted to show that we found our guy. We made him fry.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, a little conflicting evidence, they can make it go away. I mean, police are very capable of that.
Ooh, that's interesting, Gretchen.
That's interesting. Right. Now, I'll bet they hear something else you didn't know. I mean, you kind of made light of this satanic cult, and I have no idea about this satanic cult, but it is really strange that when Lacey's body was found, all of her internal organs were missing.
Out of how?
Out of her body.
But couldn't it just been eaten by?
No, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't?
No, that doesn't happen. So it was like somebody really tampered with her body. And if Scott would have done that, there would have been blood evidence, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's also evidence that the baby lived outside of Lacey's body. The doctor that they had testify at the trial has conceded since then that he used the wrong formula to measure the baby to determine the day of Connor's death. And now they say the actual doctor who wrote the theory has looked at the case and said the baby, based on the measurement of the bones, may have been alive as long as January 3rd.
But why would they kill the baby?
Who the fuck knows, dude?
All right, guys. So we are going to cut it right here until next week.
It came out a little bit longer than anticipated.
And so we want you to listen next week because we have, that's when it gets good.
Yeah, it gets real. We heated it up.
We get in an argument. I get real fired the F up.
Yeah.
Gretchen's more of the voice of reason.
And you get to hear the score, the final score.
Oh, that's the best part. Okay, so next week, tune in to the Lacey and Scott Peterson part two.
All the languages.
Dose.
Take that and put it in your pipe and smoke it, Chrissy, HJ, our uneducated asses. Sixth grade vocabulary.
Nobody's going to know that yet.
They'll know it at the end and then they'll be like, that was funny. Okay. So save that, everybody, for the end of next episode. Okay.
That's right. Gretchen did take Spanish in high school.
I did. Uno, dos, tres.
I took French. Un, deux, trois.
Ooh. See, you're so fancy.
Should have known it back then.
Yeah.
I have friends that would beg to differ, by the way.
That you're smart?
No, I think everybody thinks that. Well, yeah, probably that too. But know that I'm fancy. I'm not that fancy.
Oh, no, you're not that fancy. I just like to give you a hard time.
I can dress up sometimes.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not. Look.
No, you're not. But that lavender is a nice color on you.
Thanks. It makes my boobs look real big.
It does.
I did a TikTok.
TikTok, you don't stop.
You guys, if you haven't signed up for TikTok, it is so flipping funny.
Can you please, friend, Housewives of True Crime, because Tabitha cannot stop sending me TikTok videos. She needs friends on there.
Oh my God. My husband's going to kill me. He's going to be like, what are you doing now? I'll be like, I'm TikToking. TikTok kill us. Stop, stop.
Our husbands are so lame. I don't know why they don't think they're funny.
No, they don't think we're funny either.
No, we're funny. And TikTok is funny. They're like, that's it? Dumb? Like, no, it's not. It's funny.
It is really funny. I think Gretchen and I have the same humor.
Yeah.
Our husbands don't think we're humorous.
No.
Sometimes I do some really weird shit and he'll be like, why are you doing that? I'm like, because it's freaking funny.
Funny. Yeah.
Like, take the stick out of it.
Yeah, that's right. Mister.
Mister. Okay, so thanks for listening to us. You know, we love you all. We are also Patreon. That's where it's on.
Patreon is where it's on.
Yeah. Now we could say this is like a double say because you're going to hear it next week. But Gretchen did do a real good case.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if you guys are not Patreon members, check us out.
Okay.
Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.